Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 42 for July 24th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But if you listen to podcasts, you can also now listen and subscribe to Timing Research shows on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So be sure to look us up there. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And over the last few days, about 40 people submitted up to five symbols each. And I have put the list together of the top requests, which you should be seeing on your screen now while I'm talking. And we'll get through as many of those as we can today. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed the show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades, and he is here to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Hey, thanks, David, and welcome, traders. Glad to have you here. We got a good panel. We're going to go through these stock ideas that you've given us and give our individual opinions, and it should be interesting, kind of like Siskel and Ebert, right? Some of us will be thumbs up, some will be thumbs down, but you'll get some good professional analysis on all of these, and look forward to it. One of the questions, David, let us know that people wrote in that would like us to cover was talk about cannabis stocks and, you know, maybe what people's view are of them are they trading them? And so as we go through the show today, we'll try to touch on that as well, maybe take a look at a couple of symbols. And each of the panelists can discuss their thoughts on cannabis, on the sector, whether they're interested in trading it, whether they're trying to stimulate demand from the supply side, or whatever their approach is. But let's go ahead and introduce our panel. And Christian, if you would just take a minute or two, talk about who you are, what you got going on, what your approach to the market is.
Yeah, sure. Hey, Dean, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the panel again. I appreciate it. And it's always fun to go through some of these charts and listen to everybody's opinions and on what's going to happen next with some of these. And I think we've got a pretty good list for the day. So just real quick, my background is I was an institutional trader with Merrill Lynch, Bank of America Merrill Lynch, for a number of years, did various different roles, traded various different roles on a couple of different desks over at Merrill Lynch on the institutional side, mainly Delta One, equities, ETFs, just about everything, I should say. Just a couple of years ago, I started the Tribeca Trade Group. And what we do is we run an all-day trading room. I very much try to run the trading room like an institutional trading desk, very much the same kind of flavor and the same value that you get out of that. And I do quite a bit of tape reading. I do that with blocks that we see in cash, as well as a lot of analyzing and reading option flow. And I meld that over to reading the technicals and charts, so which we'll be going over today, which will be great. So again, happy to be on board.
Yeah, good to be back with you again. I know we've been on several times together, and I always value your comments and analysis. So it's good. Welcome. And Larry, another veteran that I've been on with several times, and enjoy being here with you, Larry. Just a quick introduction for you, if you would.
Thanks again for having me here today, Dean. And yeah, it's always fun. I enjoy going through the stock analysis. So yeah, I've been actively trading for over 30 years. Started my trading career back in the 80s, trading crude oil, and eventually went on to run a really large oil trading company for over 10 years, the trading desk. So background in a lot of commodities, but then started doing my own thing back in about 2009, 2010 with PowerCycleTrading.com. And it's an educational site. What we do is we trade directionally based on our trading model. And we like to use options for those trades to define our risk and to leverage up the returns. So it's a directional option trading, more so educational than anything else. So come visit us at PowerCycle Trading.
All right. Very good. Very good. And I know quite often we agree on analysis when we look at charts, different approaches, but it's really powerful when they agree. So I look forward to hearing your comments on some of these. And I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of followmetrades.com. And I run a stock advisory service. I publish picks, trades that I'm taking in my own account with my own money. And I run the live trading room for an hour and a half each morning. And I have education materials to teach my trading method, which has been very successful over the last several years. I've been trading over 25 years and really got started when I worked for Intel, and they gave us stock options, and I saw the power of, you can make a lot of money in a short amount of time if you get this right. And since then, I've been hooked and traded all through the dot-com bubble and all that. So it's been fun, and really enjoy looking at charts. And who knows, might pick up some good trades from the stocks that have been submitted by the the traders who submitted them. So I'm looking forward to it. So let's just jump right in. Let's start analyzing some charts, see what we think about these trades. And the first one up is the bond ETF, TLT. So we will keep the same batting order that we did the introductions, and that we put you up first, Christian.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's take a look at TLT. So TLT, and I'll start with the weekly chart. And I know I've got a bunch of lines and kind of a complicated looking chart, but one of the things that I look at a lot besides the moving averages, really I depend a lot on the moving averages because how do I describe it? It kind of gives me a sense of training wheels, right? It gives me, you know, as traders, really what helps me a lot is to look at support and resistance, when to know to get into a trade and when to know to get out of a trade. So I definitely use the moving averages quite a bit, and you'll hear me talk about them because you have to know when, you know, just as I said, your entry and also your stop, when the trade's not going to work. So the other indicator that I have on my charts is the value areas, which really give a good sense of volume at price rather than volume at time, which is on the bottom. But that really gives me a good sense of support and resistance where buyers and sellers have been, you know, around certain price levels. So again, really comes into play with support and resistance. So if we look at a weekly chart of TLT, the long bond, you know, what we've noticed the last couple of years is, you know, and I'll provide a little bit of my commentary here, is you hear someone talking about the bond yield flattening. That's been the topic the last couple of weeks. And then once bonds start to sell off, you're going to hear in the financial media, oh my God, yields are going higher. And it's like, well, wait a minute. A couple of weeks ago, you were scared that the yield curve was flattening. Now you're upset because the yields are going higher. So, you know, I find it very funny how much financial media will put a danger, you know, a warning on anything that happens with bonds, no matter which direction. So that said, what are we doing in TLT? There's a lot of digestion. And I think it's best to look at a weekly chart here. And notice that we've gotten into the value area a couple times, meaning, you know, when bonds rally, yields go down. And, you know, really the level to watch, I think, is 121.59. And until we either break into value decently and maybe get above this purple line, which is the 50-day moving average, or we break the support, which looks like it's pretty good support at around 116.70, I would say avoid it and don't even pay attention. Set an alert maybe at 122.70, or set an alert at 116, maybe 70. And then don't even pay attention to it until it breaks one of those areas, because it's a lot of sideways chop.
That's interesting. Your comment on the, you know, the financial talking heads in the media, it never ceases to amaze me that they can stand up and make a declaration with complete confidence and a straight face when what they said yesterday turned out to be absolutely wrong.
Right. I mean, you know, am I the only one that hears that right now, the last couple of weeks, it's been, oh my God, the yield curve flattening, it means a recession. And, you know, if yields happen to go tick up a little bit, the 10-year goes above 3%, they're going to have Jeff Gundlach come on. I have nothing against Jeff Gundlach, but, you know, oh my God, rates are going over 3%. Now we've got a major problem, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you'll forget that the yield curve was the flattening. And it's to me, it's absolutely amazing how this goes on.
Yeah, but it is good entertainment and should be, you know, if you take it as entertainment, then yes, it has no, you know.
They do have things called ratings, I guess that is, you know. Right. Primarily what they're looking for.
They don't have a track record of P&L to track like most of us do. They just have to be interesting.
Exactly.
And, you know, bad news is more interesting than good news for the most part. Hey, Larry, what do you think of TLT here?
Yeah, so actually we've been short TLT, went short back here right there on the 16th. And basically, you know, bonds, it's been amazing that bonds have held up so well, and actually, you know, the bond yields that came off. So when we got up here, was looking for, you know, to me, it was just made no sense that yields would keep going lower. So you can also see this is a 200 period moving average, so 200-day moving average. So the market technically got into that moving average, and that to me is a really big, powerful moving average. So was looking for a short trade setup there and just kind of was patient watching that. I was trying to enlarge this chart. So had what we call a reversal signal based on our indicators, right? right here. You can see the purple arrow. And then we had negative momentum with it. So just took a shot to the downside that it would not be able to sustain itself above that 200-day moving average and then set up our Fibonacci levels from, you know, swing low to high, targeting the 618 at 120, plowed right through that. So took profits yesterday and today right in here. And we'll look to, you know, reestablish and roll the shorts out using options, the TLT options, if it on a retracement bounce to the upside. So we've got the 50 simple moving average here. If it could rally back up into this range, then I'd like to reshort it again. So it turned out to be a pretty nice little short.
Yeah, I like it to the downside, and good trade, good catch there on that setup as it broke to 200. You see, I got the 200 on my chart as well.
Yeah, that was. You have to kind of watch these things, put them on your watch list, and be focused to catch them. So that was one that we did.
And this particular chart really respects that 200, right? When it breaks it, that's big news.
Yeah.
So right now it's just hovering at the edge of the Ichimoku cloud. If we got another break, I'd be short. You know, and if it pulled back up to the 200, like you were suggesting, I think, Larry, and then reversed, I might be interested too. On a bigger picture, I've got, you know, here's the impulsive move down last year, big move down. This has all been a correction, and now it looks like it's ready to make another big move. So if we break some support here, I got a target down below, you know, 113, and that could be good. It may reverse back up to the cloud and then give us a little better entry, and we'll watch for that.
It's a great one because the options are great to trade. They're cheap. You know, you can really get some good setups with the options, so get great leverage on this kind of product here.
Yeah, and it's got a really, really deep market, both in the shares and the options. So that's really nice that you got just super high liquidity and, you know, tight mid-ask spreads, and you can get good fills on that stuff. It's nice. Good one. I don't know if I've heard of this one. Giddy. GDDY. Who the company is here? GoDaddy. Oh, of course, GoDaddy. Yeah. Well, have you ever bought a domain or a hosting plan from GoDaddy? These guys, man, they know how to upsell, and they're just they're good and obnoxious. Wow. What do you think here of the chart on GoDaddy? I guess they lost their race car driver. I think she retired, though, right?
Yeah, you don't see her around anymore, do you?
I think she had her last race, and she's done. Anyway, Christian, what do you think of the chart?
So this is a name that I've liked. You know, I'm really a big fan of anything that has to do with small business. I've been a big fan of that for the last year. I've been a big fan of enterprise application software names. I think there you'll find that this name is in a similar trend to, like, you know, Adobe, Salesforce. I think there's an underlying theme in there. I think right now small business is pretty hot. I don't think GoDaddy is doing this move by accident, while Salesforce also looks like it's kind of doing the same thing. So a lot of these stocks, software stocks, or you know, GoDaddy, Wix, I don't think it's by accident that they're in such strong trends. However, you know, it's in a really nice trend. I think it's done a really nice upswing here. But you'll notice, you know, so if you've been long this, and if you got long, of course, hindsight trading on here perfectly. But if you got long, I mean, this is a great stock to get long when it touches the 50-day moving average. So what does it look like right now? It looks like, now granted, if you're long stock, I would stay long the stock. But if you're long options or something like that, and you have a medium or short-term horizon, I would be taking profits today. It looks like it's got a bearish engulfing candle, like a lot of momentum names today. So it's kind of giving you a heads up that maybe they're going to start to roll over. And, you know, I don't want to say roll over, but just roll down in an uptrend and maybe come back into that support of 20-day and 50-day. But man, has this stock given you a great signal every single time this has come into and kind of, you know, hit and consolidated a little bit around the purple line, the 50-day moving average. It's acted beautifully here. But every time it gets a little bit ahead of itself, just normal ebb and flow, it's time to take a little bit of profits here, you know, here. And I think probably today too. And then wait for it to kind of get back into this 76, 75 range.
I can't disagree with anything you just said.
I'm on. See, if we're agreeing, then I'm on today, Dean.
And, you know, what I love about a chart like this, you know, when I'm talking to folks about the market, I use the term orderly. I like orderly markets. And this thing has volatility, right? It moves. It moves up and down. It swings. But it's also very orderly. There's no gaps, right? And it respects, don't you like that term, to anthropomorphize the chart, right? But it absolutely respects support levels and resistance levels and reacts to them in a very predictable way. I love a chart like this. And I'm way out of turn, but I just had to point that out while it was on my mind. I'm using Ichimoku Cloud, and I think it's very close to the 50-day moving average. It finds support, it reverses, goes down, finds support, reverses, goes on to new highs. Man, what more could you want?
I mean, I think it's also, it's pretty cool that we use different indicators. You know, and it's one of those situations where, you know, I always see all over the place, like, this is the perfect indicator to use, you know, whether it's this, that, or whatever. But as long as you're coming, you know, it's for me, and I think just in general, you know, teaching people, it doesn't matter what indicator you use or what study, I should say, that you're using on your charts, as long as it gives you, you know, gets you to a place where you're coming up with a conclusion. And I think it's funny that we use different indicators or different studies on our charts, but we kind of come to the same conclusions, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, is there anything left to say, Larry?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you guys just said. So yeah, basically when I look at this, you know, like you said, Dean, it's had a really nice orderly move up. So this is, you know, that purple is an 8 exponential moving average. You can see it touched down here, trended back up, but we're getting kind of extended here. And so I like to look at reversals. I've got some reversal indicators and momentum indicators that I tie in with reversals. And so when I see negative momentum with the reversal, it's usually a good time to make sure you're at least out of that stock, you know, taking your profit, and look for it to probably have kind of that mean reversion, which could easily take it all the way back down here to right around 75, 76. So I would definitely, you know, be cashing in the chips, but it's been a good run up. And then it gets back down here, see if it consolidates and holds, and look to get back in.
Yeah. So that's when we're all in the same place, right? Would not go long right now. That would not be clever. Nice orderly chart. Next up is this UU.
LU. Isn't it LU or is it UUUU?
UUUU.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah. Energy Fuels Inc. Well, the last chart we looked at was extraordinarily orderly. What do you think, Christian?
Yeah. And I just changed my chart settings. I think I need to go back a little bit further in time. I'm starting with a weekly chart. I only have 3 years on here. I have to change this. I'm on a different computer and I don't have my home settings. But first of all, it's a penny stock. That's the first thing I see. So it's pretty speculative. I'll just give my quick response. And I would say, you know, you've got this 200-day moving average on the weekly chart. And again, I'm using the weekly because I think it's good to kind of take a look to see this this consolidation in this base. So, you know, even though it's a penny stock and I don't normally trade stocks under, you know, around this price level, but I would wait for a little bit of confirmation, maybe above 3, and then use that as your stop price. So go long maybe versus 3 once it comes out of this range, and then maybe use that as your stop. I'll leave it there for you guys to go over UUUU.
Okay. Larry, what about UUUU?
Yeah, so UUUU, it's not one that we would probably trade because we like to use options and, you know, $2 stock. It's not going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun to it. But, you know, if you're, you know, again, I agree with Christian. You can see here the weekly, this is a 200-week moving average, and you can see it's stopped right into it. So would not the 200 period moving average is such a huge moving average, and either on a weekly or a daily or even a monthly. So I don't ever want to be buying in front of it, let it clear it, consolidate, give it some time, and then see if it continues and pushes higher. But I would not be doing anything here on this particular stock.
Yeah, and I don't mind trading a low price. You know, I don't consider this a penny stock, but, you know, typically that's less than a dollar. As long as there's good liquidity, or I think traded, you know, 1.5 million shares today. So, but I typically buy these outright and you know, cautious position sizing on a smaller cap stock like this. But as noted, so I'm looking at the daily chart, and the thing that jumps, you know, it's above the 200 daily. Interesting that the weeklies are hitting the 200. Look at this prior high. That is a armor steel plated high at this point. And until it can break through that, and if that's hitting the 200 on the weekly, I would not try to trade it under that. You would want a definitive break. I think it was Christian said $3, that would be definitive. And then it could have a whole new trend going on, but I would not go long into this resistance, and wouldn't short it either until you get really clear sign of a reversal and breaking through some support levels. So probably not trade there on Energy Fuels Inc. at the moment for me. Didn't talk to anybody else was too excited about it either. Aditas Medicine, EDIT. This is interesting. All right, Christian, Aditas.
Yeah. So this is one of the ones that was, well, it has been very volatile, and it was very volatile today. I think this one, and what is it, CRSP, is the other one that brought down retail today, or not retail, biotech today. Both of these names, they seem to be move in a pattern. What's the right name for that? Oh, CRSP, right? Both kind of move together. These are what, gene therapy stocks, I think it is. In any event, you can see both these charts look pretty similar. Edit and CRSP, they definitely seem to move together because of their business lines. So a lot of volatility here. You could see today it was down 8%, $3 today. Looks like it's into the 200-day moving average. And I would say let that be your stop if you're long the name. It did go below there intraday, but it managed to close there. I think that's pretty good support. So, you know, I would watch to see how it behaves here around the 200-day moving average, but definitely a very volatile name. So I would not be using like a full-size position or anything like that. Also notice on the weekly chart, it's kind of holding that same support area that it's kind of built in there. Let me just go back to this daily chart. So I would say, first of all, if you're long, I would say stay in it unless it really breaks maybe 32. If you get a closing bar below 32, I would probably get out, or maybe 31, I should say. It gives you a little bit more bumper room. If looking to go long, I would wait to see if it consolidates for a couple days around that the 200-day moving average. Usually names like this, you know, that have a big move down, they spend some time down here. They don't just bullet right back up. So I would watch to see how it behaves around that white line. And then maybe if you're, again, like I said in the beginning, I think this is a really speculative name. So then if you really want to give it a shot, you know, wait until maybe it gets above 34.
Pretty interesting. You pointed out that it had a 8.4% drop today. What's really interesting is that's no big deal on this chart, right? That's a regular occurrence, as you pointed out.
Crazy, right?
Crazy. And it goes up that much too. So not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. Does it scare you, Larry?
Yeah. These are some pretty big moves, you know, price action. So, and you can see this is coming into some pretty good support. So if you look here again, this is the weekly. So you can see this spike high right here, and then you can see all the price action. So that's kind of support right through there, you know, down to 29, that level. And then you've got here on the weekly, you've got a 50 simple moving average on the weekly. So support there. And then you're into the 200 day on the daily. So, you know, it sold off hard into some pretty decent support. So I just let it see how it's going to handle the support, if it's going to hold, consolidate, and probably potentially it will. But then if you start getting the separation below this 200 period moving average, so, you know, a day or two of a close, I wouldn't mind with this volatility, take a shot to the downside.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If it does break that 200, that's new, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't done that for a year.
That's right.
So if it does break, that's big news. And I think Christian pointed out too, that after these down moves historically, it doesn't always bounce back up like a Super Bowl. It'll consolidate for a while. So, you know, there may be a long if you get a reversal, but it may take a while. And probably the more interesting thing is if it breaks that support, then again, that's new information in this market and something that could be tradable with this volatility. And I think it was Christian said, yeah, I would trade it with a smaller position size. It's more speculative and more volatile. I would agree with that 100%. I wouldn't go full boat position on something like this. That could hurt. AMD. Yeah, I used to work for Intel, and AMD, they were kind of like the Russians during the Cold War. They were the bad guys. I think AMD and Intel are actually playing together now, playing nice. I still never buy an AMD computer. That's not the program for me.
no AMD for you?
It'd be like, you know, I worked for so long, 14 years for Intel, and totally drank the Kool-Aid. It'd be like being a right. Trader. So. What do you think of the chart?
Well, so they report earnings. Do you guys know, is it tomorrow morning or is it tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow after the close.
After the close, yeah.
After the close, thanks. Okay. Okay. So, well, that makes a world of difference for me. That'll change. No, I'm just kidding. No, I was curious to know which day. You know, it's made a nice move in here. I'll tell you, this is a really tricky name on earnings. On earnings day, the last two quarters, it's done well, but it's had a couple quarters that have really done really poorly. So I would not be chasing it here. I will tell you right now, I am not playing AMD for earnings because I think it's like flipping a coin at this point. So it is close to breakout territory, but I'm not willing to stick my neck out this one after it's moved up from $11 to $16. And it seems like sometimes, I think if I could go back here, maybe I got the wrong chart up here.
Probably the only earnings play is, you know, like a straddle strangle where you have no idea. You just expect a big move, right?
Right. But I would not, I think the, you know, I do play earnings a lot for names, but this one I do not have a good feel on. And when was the last, didn't it get crushed? I think maybe in here it got crushed on earnings and then spent a long time. I do remember that there was a quarter, maybe it was 1024.
The 1024 dropped 17%.
Okay, that's what it was. Thanks. Yeah, I think it was here. You know, right when it looked like it was going to break out last time. Now it did it, but it did it at a different time frame. So yeah, I've got this one on the avoid list.
Yeah. All so right. Let's see, on the October 2017. Let's take a look. So yeah, I mean, I have really specific rules for you know these trading. So when you come into an earnings date release, you know that's a non-directional trade. You never know really what the earnings will do to the price. You know, they could call it the earnings confusion. You could have fantastic, you know, earnings or whatever that you think are great, and the thing could tank. Depends on what they say during the earnings conference call. So you can see back here, October 24th, 2017, this thing just got crushed and dropped. On the end of the week, it closed down almost 17%. And then you had May of that year as well. It closed down 24%. So this has huge, potentially big moves. But then again, it can have certain quarters where it doesn't move at all. So it's not a very consistent type of stock that you can trade directionally. I mean, kind of put on a non-directional trade for an earnings. So it's not one that you could sell volatility because it could move against you 13, 14, 15%. And if you are trying to sell volatility at the expected move, you're going to get crushed. So this is a stock to just let it avoid it tomorrow after the close, just see what it does and then take it from there. But so I would do nothing here.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you that there, for me, there's no trade and, you know, trading into earnings, there are some strategies for that. You got to be really careful. You really got to have that dialed in and back tested and, you know, every dot, every I dotted, every T crossed and have a real strategy for trading earnings. And so I currently, you know, if I'm in a position, we're going into a big announcement like earnings, I scale back, take some profit, tighten things up and, you know, make sure the worst case, we're going to get out at break even. And, you know, because it is 50-50. You don't know, A, what the news is going to be and B, how the market's going to react to it. And it can be super frustrating when you think it's good news, like you mentioned, Larry, and the rest of the participants puke on it. So earnings is its own game and you got to really have that dialed in to do it well, I think. And, you know, the chart for me, there's no real setup anyway. So it had a nice move up, it had a correction, it had a follow through, it kind of hit the target. So it's done for now. There's nothing to trade. So I wouldn't be touching it. CSX is our next one. And these are the train people, right?
Yeah.
Choo-choo. I saw an article that's pretty interesting that people are starting to get worried that the trains are trying to compete with trucks. And to do that, they lower costs by linking up these mega trains that are, you know, like 200-300 cars long, put four or five engines in there. And the longer the train, the lower the cost. And now people start worried those are dangerous and have their own problems. But that's interesting. Actually, I have a customer who works on trains. He's a train engineer. And he said, well, trains are cool. Every little boy wants to play with trains, right? And he goes, not when they grow up because they stink, they're dirty, and when you bump your head, they don't move. Anyway, what do you think of the train company here, Christian?
Yeah, so I think it's I think out of the rails, it's the best of breed name, and but I could see anyway. They had a nice earnings quarter. They made this move before out of concern. You know, it's very interesting if you know looking at the pattern that you see on the daily chart. So it just had earnings, nice gap up for earnings. I would say if you're long, take your profits, you know, or take half off, you know, whatever however you want to manage that. But you've had a nice bump up out of consolidation. But you know, notice what it did back here. here back in April. Same thing, a lot of consolidation, popped on earnings, made a nice little bull flag here. So I think right now it's probably in the development of that bull flag, and it's probably going to take, you know, maybe a week or two, and then wait to see if it pops out. But I think right now you got to let it digest. Keeping in mind that it is a rail and not a internet name, and that it will probably digest a little bit. But I think you definitely keep it on your radar and wait for that bull flag to kind of set in a little bit after this gap up for earnings. And then wait for that next move higher, because it certainly made a nice quiet move from once it came out of this bull flag, $60 to $66. So, you know, that's a nice little move that it made. So I would wait for a runner. But I think you need it to consolidate for a little bit first.
All right. And Larry, you want to play with trains?
Yeah, I used to love trains too when I was a kid. But anyway, this was an earnings run. So it had a great, you know, spike higher out of earnings. But then the tendency for, if you look back and look at its earnings history, you can go back and look at statistics on that. You'll see that it tends, when it has these big moves up, you know, this bull flag, it'll churn and trend sideways for days and days and days until it consolidates and builds a base to then potentially push a little bit higher. But it never really, looking back over past earnings, it never really has a huge move after that big pop. The last time it had a really big move after a big earnings run was back in January of 2017. It closed. It had a big earnings spike up about 16%, and then about a month later it was up 24%. But the tendency is for it to kind of consolidate sideways. So you can see it just churn up here. You know, you can also see these Fibonacci levels. It's hit the extensions up here to the 1618, and it's kind of in some support here. So it could just churn right in here. So it's kind of a no trade. Just wait and see if it starts to, you know, give you another signal, whatever you like to use for the upside. But I would not be doing much with it right here.
Yeah, a chart like this is really the hole in my trading approach. I'm a swing trader. I try to catch early trends and then corrections and then resumption of the original trend. When I get a long mature trend like this, I just don't have an approach to it. I don't like it. It's not what I'm looking for. And it's impressive. I went from $25 a couple of years ago up to 70. A great trend, but I'm looking for, you know, I wouldn't be interested until it begins to correct, which it will one of these days. That whole trend is going to correct.
This was that last earnings and it went sideways.
What's that?
You can hear, this was the last earnings, so it tends to have a kind of the same pattern. You can see it pops up, goes sideways, builds support. This was about 2 weeks of consolidation. And then the big one back in January 2017, kind of the same thing. So you just have to kind of, when they have these big moves, just kind of go on to something else and wait until it finds its range again.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fairly orderly deal. It seems to gap on earnings, like you said, and go sideways. But yeah, it's just, it's too long in the tooth on this trend for me to get excited about at this point in time. That's all right. Next, I don't know if I've heard of this symbol, LSCC. What could this possibly be? Lattice. Oh, interesting.
I thought you might have something to mention, considering the Intel AMD.
Well, I do. Rate. I do. Now that I know what the company is, a general manager I used to work for in the high-end server division went on to be the CEO of this company. So I know a little bit about it. That is a butt ugly chart, though, regardless of the company, my opinion. There's my analysis. I'll go first. That's an ugly chart, and I don't want any part of it. But Christian, what do you think?
Yeah, that was easy. I don't know if I could put that as eloquently as you did with that describing the chart. But yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I think if you're long, it's a pretty sideways looking chart. If you're long stock, you know, it is in this little bit of an uptrend. I see, you know, the 50-day crossing over the 200. So really being optimistic with that. But I agree. I think it's kind of a frustrating name to be in this name for what, how many years? And the thing just moves, you know, in a pretty tight range. This is what AMD used to do back in the day, right? Didn't it used to go from like $3 to $4 down to $4?
Forever.
Yeah, right. So, you know, that said, maybe if it does break out of that range, you know, maybe around 850 or something like that, maybe pay attention. But I have to agree with your initial assessment that it's you're kind of waiting, watching the paint dry with this one.
Yeah, and that's a technical term. I think Larry, you turned me on to whippy, right? That's a very good
whippy. Yeah. But yeah, and it's got earnings. So, you know, this is another one where it's kind of, to me, it's a non-trade until it gets through earnings and then take it from there. But you're coming up. Here's a weekly chart. You can see all this price action up here, right about where it is, so about $7. And then, you know, maybe we'll get to 7.5, and then maybe it'll get to 8. So if you put your just some Fibonacci levels in there, just looking at the chart itself, you can see it's right into that 618. So this is where it just, if earnings can pop it above here and then it holds that $7 range, then this has potential to get probably pushed back up towards those prior highs. But I'd let it get through earnings and then let it have that consolidation phase and then see if it takes the next leg up. But the 618 though is pretty critical. So you can see it's right here. So it's not going to do anything. It's not going to break out up or down until it sees the earnings results and see how that affects the stock. So for right now, you do nothing.
Nothing. I like it. Okay, we couldn't do a show without talking about Netflix, and that is up next. And they've already announced earnings, obviously, over a week ago, and that was interesting. And, you know, that's a good case study. We talked earlier about, you know, good news versus a bad reaction versus bad news and a good reaction. Who knows what's going to happen, right? We definitely had a reaction to earnings on Netflix. And what's your take on it, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, certainly what a crazy day that was last week, you know, that it opened, you know, right around the lows, down pretty big, and it managed to rally back. Since then, it's looked, you know, it's kind of failed a bit, and it's still kind of trading in this inside pattern. So, you know, I guess the bulls can kind of have that to salvage, and it really hasn't broken on the weekly chart. But so I'll try to be a little bit more controversial with this one. I don't mention a lot of shorts. But I think this one, it's kind of made its move for now. And I think that, you know, the stock's up, what? It was up 100% going into earnings or somewhere around there. And, you know, what I took away from the earnings call was that their growth seems to be slowing down a little bit. And I think all is good and fine with a growth name and something that's breaking out, as long as they're continuing to fire on all cylinders and grow. But it sounds like they stumbled a little bit, and they're still growing at huge clips, but, you know, they're not meeting expectations. And for a name that's gone up 90%, I will even come out and say, while it's below the 50-day moving average, you want to be shorted. And, you know, maybe it takes out this virgin point of control that I've got drawn here that comes up automatically on my charts. Notice this was a big volume area before. So I would say right now, be short down to 330 and take your target there. Where I would be wrong and change that is if it gets back above the 50-day moving average, the purple line.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I was glad to hear your analysis. Larry.
Yeah, so it's really lost its mojo here. Yeah, you're right up, totally right on that. You can just see this was the earnings, you know, after earnings, it dropped 14%, and but then spiked up, but failed back into, again, that 50 period moving average. Okay, so, and that's also a 382 retracement. So it's not, there's not much strength to the retracement up. Okay, so, you know, we can use Fibonacci to give us kind of commitment to the move back up or down. And if it can't get back through that 382, that's not showing much strength. So now you've got a lot of resistance overhead. You've got the 50 simple moving average, you've got the 382, and then you've got some other moving averages up here. So right in here, it's going to be one that you might look at trading intraday, but I would not be trading it here. It's got support down here at that. It could easily probably will retest that spike low. That's usually a tendency. And then you can see this other area up here. You got a lot of price action coming in there about 240-ish, 235. So, you know, it's not one that I would be right doing anything on it right now.
Yeah, you know, what an impressive company. I remember, gosh, it must have been 10, 15 years ago here in Reed Hastings being interviewed. And that's back, if you remember when Netflix started, it was, you know, they had a website and they'd mail you DVDs, right? And even then they were starting to kick butt on Blockbuster and stuff. And I remember him being interviewed on TV. And he goes, if you think I started this company to mail DVDs, you've missed my vision. And, you know, now they're eating the shorts of studios and their content creation. It's an impressive company. But in terms of the chart, I like your term, you know, your observation, Christian, that all the price bars since the earnings have been inside, right? It's all inside action. And I like a short too, if it breaks that earnings day price bar. If it goes below that, I think we got a good short coming. It could go all the way down to the 200, down to about 280, right? Just a turn in sentiment, right? It's like, man, this thing's run up from $100 to $400. Let's regroup just a little bit here. And it doesn't have to have anything to do with the fundamentals of the company. It's just, you know, markets have cycles, and this one might be ready for a little profit taken, looks like to me.
And it's nice to have a short on or two, right? And, you know, I mean, I've been basically pretty long this market. But if something wants to present itself where it's got, you know, a compelling argument to the downside, and as long as you're defining it, you know, where you're going to stop out, you know, I think it's nice to have a couple shorts on. And I don't know if, you know, if you guys short regularly or what, you know, what your feeling is right now.
I actually prefer short trades when they're good because they typically move faster, right? You get profit faster on a short typically than you do on a long, right?
They do move quickly to the downside when they do, when they go.
Yeah, but you can also get some head fakes and, you know, it looks like it's going to go down and then, oops. I confess to getting faked out on Apple earlier this year. That's all right. We had risk controls, controlled loss. It's all right. But yeah, so I do like short trades. And in fact, that would lead us to, let's take a break from the list for a minute and share some of our current favorite trades. And while you guys are looking at that, I'll go ahead and lead with a short that I like right now. And it is PLD, Prologix. It's a REIT and it's had a beautiful run up in a correction. We've had an A, we've had a B. I think we're going to get a C down into this Fibonacci retracement zone below $55. So PLD short, and we're trading that long the puts. I think we're using the November 70 strike puts, and we're in a little bit of profit. We think it's going to be a home run. No guarantees. Stop up at 66.27. It gets back up there. Well, didn't work out, but we use risk control and control that. But Christian, what do you like right now? What would you share?
Yeah, I like the rounding. That 200-day moving average seems like it's curling over on the PLD too, right? Kind of acting like as a ceiling or an umbrella.
Yeah. Now that it's broken it definitively, that means something, I think.
Yeah, like it. Okay, so I was going to kind of up for grabs with two different plays. I think so this is going to be very simple. I'm going to go long the diamonds, right? You know, I think we're seeing today a little bit of rotation. You know, the small caps looked, you know, the small caps have been great. The Qs have been great year to date. Those have been the two indices that have really been leading the charge for the U.S. markets. But there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with a little bit of rotation. So, you know, a rotation into some of the bigger industrials now that, you know, what Boeing reports tomorrow. So barring any catastrophe from Boeing, which I don't, I honestly don't think, but I would be surprised if that would happen. But I think that the diamond chart is looking pretty good to the upside. Look at the volume today, by the way, on the diamonds, a nice outperformance. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, I think today's price action was tough, right? When we open up on the highs, it just hasn't been going very well lately. The last couple months, when we gap open in the morning, usually there's a lot of profit taking that takes place. But I really like the action out of the diamonds, and they kind of failed once they got over this before. So now maybe second time is the charm, and we'll see if this can kind of bust out a little bit and break back up to. I'm not saying we're going to have new 52-week highs, but I think if you get above this hump, I think you can move nicely to you know, to around 260, 265 in the diamonds.
Very interesting. You mentioned Boeing earnings. You know, we'll see how that goes. Sounds like they had a good air show, right, last week. Booked some big orders.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it went pretty well.
And yeah, you know, took top prize from Airbus in terms of orders booked coming out of Paris. What do you like, Larry?
Well, you know, we've been looking for some new trade setups. We've been in target here. We had a nice little pop today. Still, I think has potential to move up to a new high here towards that 81. So we've been long target for over a week, looking for this to break higher. Might be a little late to get into it now, but this is one we're currently long. And then we had the TLT short. Now, one I'm kind of started to focus in on here today might be a short trade setup on Lululemon. It you can see it had this big, huge push to the upside right after earnings. It's a big old push to the upside. Now you're in this bull flag. But if you look at your moving averages and momentum that I like to look at, it's starting to roll over. And if this thing starts breaking kind of this area here, this 122, you do have the 50 moving average down here, but you could have a pretty good little pullback here on Lulu. So I'm just kind of really stalking that one big time.
I kind of like that. I see what you see in terms of maybe the beginning of a pullback there. That's interesting. Maybe everybody's got all the yoga pants they needed for now, right?
Have you guys actually been in the well, there's a guy shop. There's a separate, in New York City, there's a guy shop for Lulu. But they, of course, there is a guy's department in the Lululemon. Have any of you actually bought anything from a Lululemon store?
I never have.
It's not, I actually own a pair of shorts from Lulu. I went in the place with my girlfriend. I use that as my defense. But I have to say the stuff is pretty, I agree with your chart assessment, by the way. But I have to say their stuff was pretty nice for guys.
Sweet. No, I've never looked. Never, you know. Interesting. So get us a picture, Christian. Post it, you know, here, share it next time you're on. You make an assessment.
I knew I wasn't going to get away with that with that one scot-free. So
yeah. Okay, next one. SYMC, is this semantic? I'm not sure. Of course it is. Wow. Wow. Christian, you say wow?
Yeah, I mean it's crazy, right? You know, you would think, you know, with what's been going on with cyber names, and there are very strong cyber names out there. A couple of them got lit up today. It looks like CyberArk Software, but you know, it's pretty crazy. Even Fortnite, like all these seems like names that really have run up have these crazy bearish engulfing candles for the day. But Symantec just hasn't been able to get out of its own way. And you know, in the call, in the option flow that we see, there has been a tiny bit of call buying, dip buying into this, but man, this thing looks really ugly. And I would have, and it kind of came on my radar a couple of days ago, because like I said, we saw some call activity in it, but the technicals kind of outweigh the call activity for me. And I don't like it below the 50-day moving average. It looks like it's completely failed here at the 50-day moving average. That said, it hasn't, you know, being slightly optimistic here, it is going into earnings, so anything could happen for earnings. You know, maybe this gets, it did bounce pretty hard the last time. It actually fell apart horribly last time on earnings. Maybe if they have a turnaround here, so again, kind of flipping the coin, but, you know, I would say if you're really aggressive playing earnings names, I mean, maybe this one at $20, you know, I really think regardless of the chart, anything could happen on earnings. And, you know, as long as you're defining your risk, maybe an earnings play, but other than that, I would completely stay away from the name.
I don't know what happened on that, you know, on that gap. Maybe they got hacked, right? That's bad news if a cybersecurity firm gets hacked, their own servers.
Yeah, I think they did get hacked. It was something crazy because, yeah, you look at that gap down, man, that just got annihilated.
Yeah.
And right at that 200-day, that's a pretty decent failure at the 200-day, right?
Yeah. These aren't the ones. I know there was a firm that got hacked, cyber firm.
I mean, that kind of dropped. That was, I think they did get hacked.
And
that
the CEO shorted it beforehand, before they made the announcement. And he might be have a new address.
This was, wow.
I'm not sure if that was this one. Anyway, boy, they couldn't fill that gap under any circumstances, could they? Larry.
Yeah, this one here is just, you know, really broken. You can see, I like to look at that 618 retracement, broke through there. Good, you know, potential to retest these lows, you know. So not one to be long. And, you know, when it broke down under those moving averages right there, you could see it really started to accelerate. So I think I wouldn't probably jump into it short here, but on any retracement back up, if it can't get back above, let's say that 50% retracement right in there and it fails on a lower time frame, probably look to get back in on the short side.
Yeah, I think so too. I wouldn't go long on this for any reason. And pretty interesting that it trades at high volume, 9.2 million shares today. That's a lot of activity for going nowhere. Maybe a short if it takes out a previous low. I think there's better things to trade. I'm not interested in this one. Wow, we're almost out of time. So let's go ahead and do our closing comments just one more time around the table. You know, any kind of closing thoughts you have on the market, if there's a website or a link you'd like to share, this would be a good time to do that. And so Christian, wrap it up, man.
Yeah, sure. Closing thoughts. Well, you know, like I said, I think today was a kind of crazy day, right? I mean, the markets were going bananas pre-market and a lot of names reporting earnings. But, you know, bottom line, I think always earnings season, and I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this as well. But earnings season, I always think is a very tricky time to swing. I'm more of a swing trader than I am a day trader. But I think it's a very tricky time to swing trade. The market sometimes does things like it does today. It just, you know, it doesn't want to really break out during earnings season. I think it wants to digest and you know, there's so many names that are going to be moving up, and then you've got a couple names that are moving down. So it's a lot of digestion. So I really would say for the next week, trade a little bit lighter than normal, and you know, be patient with what happens here. And you know, just like we saw today, you know, I think a lot of the momentum names, you know, remember what the momentum names are, you know, and I think a lot of retail traders traffic in this group, but they can be big momentum to the upside as well as to the downside. So some of these names, like I think Square was on the list, you know, put in a pretty toppy looking candle. So, you know, it reports in about a week, you know, let some of these stocks come in a little bit going into their earnings print, because personally, I wouldn't want to see, you know, such a huge run up into an earnings print. It seems like that's not going to help the situation either. So I would actually welcome a little bit of a pullback in some of these momentum names. And you know, going back to my trade idea, let some of these other areas that have not been performing, let them pick up the slack a little bit. So so that's my final thoughts. You could visit me at TribecaTradeGroup.com, also on Twitter. It's my first initial and last name, so at C. Fromhertz. And again, it's a pleasure always to be on. So thank you, Dean. Thank you, Larry. And thank you, David, for having me on again. I'll see you guys next time.
Great. And I really like your comments, Christian. Thanks. Good to be here with you. Larry.
Yeah, Christian. Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me, and always a lot of fun. So again, I kind of agree with Christian. You know, you've got some big guys coming up this week. So you've got, you know, Amazon on Thursday. We've got Apple next Tuesday. We've got Facebook tomorrow. So, you know, let some of the bigger ones get out of the way, then let the market kind of digest that and then take the next either trend to renew the highs or to pull back and retrace. So, you know, that's kind of the best way to do it when you're in earnings season, or else you play earnings trades based on kind of a non-neutral, kind of a non-directional trades type basis, which we like to do, you know, using different kinds of either sell volatility or, you know, looking to buy breakouts with condors and things like that. So, please come join us at powercycletrading.com and, you know, check us out. We've got always doing some free webinars and things. You can look to see what we're doing there and have a lot of great content that's free on the site. So check us out, powercycletrading.com. And again, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Hey, thanks, Larry. It's good to have you here again, too. I'm showing a website. It's really great. If you don't know about it, folks watching, this is Yahoo Finance. Sorry about that. They have a earnings calendar. It's a free tool. And you just look and you get a list of all the companies you're reporting. So we had 124 companies today. Tomorrow, 243. Thursday, 285. Right? We have a third of the S&P 500 reporting this week. So this is a really helpful tool. And you can see it's just getting started, man. Here comes the wave. And so I think I agree with Christian. I think Larry echoed it. Yeah, you got to be really careful. It's, you know, trading into the big announcements of any kind and, you know, planned known news coming out. You know, it's like piloting a ship in a iceberg field, right? You gotta be careful because you can hit things and get hurt. And icebergs in the behind you are much safer than the ones in front of you. So I've been focused on stocks that have already reported, and we found some good trades there. That PLD I showed was specifically found looking for things already reported and have good setups. My website, followmetrades.com. Again, we have a stock advisory service. We got a trading room and education materials. A great way to get acquainted with what I'm doing is a free weekly newsletter. It's called Beyond the Noise, weekly market analysis, and you know what our take is on what's going on some key markets. So love to have you sign up, check that out, and get acquainted. Well, hey, great show. I really enjoyed the discussion with both you gentlemen, Christian and Larry. And David, it's back to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, both shows will be back next week. Crowd Forecast News will be back to the usual time of 1 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. That will be July 30th. Also, July 31st, the next episode of this show, Tuesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Just want to thank my guests again for this week. Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com, and Dean Jenkins of FollowMeTrades.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David.
Thanks again, David.